The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this Monday, April 15th. Oh, there's that, too. Tax day. Hey. I know they'll never do it, but, and it's kind of glib, but it's a fun idea. You ever hear somebody, how do you not, been kicking around for decades, they said, I'll tell you what, election day ought to be on tax day. Keep you mindful of where that money goes and who gets to spend it. I would be all about, well, imagine if election, boy, there's 12 reasons why I'd love for the election to be right now. Imagine the election on Trump's jury selection day in the hush money case, that stupid, pointless, intellectually vacant hush money case. You get to do non-disclosure agreements. The mischaracterization, if it even happened, of some line item versus another line item in who Trump paid to do what, there is no fraud. There is no victim. It's like someone described it as misrepresenting something to your own checkbook. It is so very, very stupid. And yet in the Trump-hating annals of legacy media, oh, Morning Joe. It's a historic day. It's a historic day, which it technically is. Haven't had a former president go on criminal trial for something before. So that is a fresh one. But the history is not just the gravity of the event. It is what effect it may ultimately have, because today's when it gets real. Today's when you get to see Trump roll into a courthouse, and it's due to start 9 o'clock our time here in Texas, and be, you know, chained to a courtroom, metaphorically at least at first, as a complete witch hunt rolls out in front of this judge, in front of this Judge Juan Merchan, and Alvin Bragg turned this into a felony. In fact, I've got there are things that you guys have been wondering about, have been peppered with questions, you know, for a long time. So I'm going to boil some of those down here in just a bit, and just about what this is all about. And but the effect, what really matters is what effect will it have if he is convicted, and even as threadbare and ridiculous as this case is. Can Trump even get a fair trial on the island of Manhattan? I'd like to think so, but I don't know. The effect of the trial, the effect of a potential conviction, if everything so far has served only to galvanize his support. And remember the Mark Davis definition of political damage, right? The Mark Davis definition of political damage is... It only damages you if people who love you stop loving you. Do you know anybody who has said, man, I'm all in for Trump. Man, MAGA, baby. Here's my red hat. Oh, wait a minute. What? He's on trial? I'm out. Maybe another 4 years of Biden is okay. Does that human being exist? I don't think so. However, I'll tell you, no small number of human beings that do exist. And that is the people who are, you know, 70-30 on Trump. Favored the policies, but the mean tweets, blah, 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 blah. But they see this. It's what I call the Jason Whitlock reaction. I think when some of these indictments were handed down, a podcaster, commentator, mostly a sports guy, but also a culture guy, these guys, Jason Whitlock, went on Tucker Carlson and said, Tucker, I'm about 50-50 on Trump. like him sometimes, sometimes not. I think he's ridiculous sometimes. I'm about 50-50. But tonight I am hardcore MAGA, he said. And his reasoning was because this is just wrong. This is not America. This is what kind of banana republic nonsense is this, where a president's opponents attempt to strike him from the ballot. That was fun. Jail him. I mean, this is Hugo Chavez Venezuela style garbage. And there are people who are rising up against it, and they plan to rise up against it on the 5th of November, which is either a million miles away or right in front of our faces, depending on the whole cosmic calendar of elections. As I said, our buddy Mike Gallagher is back. We'll see how he's doing with the jet lag. He had just gotten used to the jet lag on like his last day in Japan, and then he had to hop onto a plane for a 20-hour sojourn back to his Florida home that featured like a 4-hour layover in Seattle. He says, I know how Biden feels every day. I said, yeah, but you're coherent. Let's talk about this president and coherency up against the Israel threat. Over the weekend, of course, 99% of the Iranian drones slapped down. Obviously, that's a pretty good batting average, but just 1% of an evil invading nation's drone attack could do some serious, serious damage. Israel defended itself with consummate skill, with the aid of American intelligence. That is good and right and proper. Oh, thank you, sir. May I have another? This Biden White House contorting itself constantly, daily, in order to get pro-Hamas votes in Dearborn, Michigan, and other Democrat enclaves like it. Once again, defaulting back to their usual position, which has become usual over the last few weeks and months. And that is telling Israel, hey, they've moved from, hey, stop all this winning. They're about to completely obliterate Hamas. It's like, no. You can't do that. Don't go into Rafah. No. In fact, a ceasefire for a couple of months would be really awesome. And ostensibly, so like aid trucks can bring in food and stuff. But there is that other thing that those 6 to 8 weeks of ceasefire would do. Yeah, what is that? Oh, yes. Allow Hamas to dust itself off, regroup, retool, rearm, and kill more Israelis. That's why the ceasefire is a non-starter. So that's been the constant song for weeks and weeks and weeks. Then, with this attack, we then get the weekend of, hey, don't retaliate. Love that. Love that. Don't retaliate. A whole squadron of drones comes at you to kill who knows how many Israelis, and this White House's message, I don't want to say Biden's message, but is he even aware that this is happening? Whoever is actually running the country, whoever is actually engineering American foreign policy, says just don't retaliate. Oh no, do not retaliate. Now, There is a debate that can be had. You know, is retaliation wise? Is retaliation necessary? What would retaliation do? Would it, and you'll hear this all day, every day, would it broaden the conflict? Shoot, yes, it would broaden the conflict. Guess what? Maybe the conflict needs to be broadened. Maybe it does. Hitler invades Poland, 1939. Conflict needed to be broadened. Saddam invades Kuwait. Conflict needed to be broadened in order to bring an evil force to heel. It's ultimately Israel's call, and America's position as its ally should be, you guys do whatever you need to do. And when I say we will support you, it's kind of interesting. We'll support you philosophically. We've obviously supported them financially. The Biden White House has already said that we will not play a tactical role in any retaliation. I mean, if Israel says, all right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take out a couple of Iranian nuclear facilities, which, by the way, might be a wonderful idea, because Iran may be they may be a paper tiger. Did you catch the dancing in the streets? Oh, man, it was party times 12 on the streets of Tehran, because they needed to telegraph to their people that it was this huge, resounding, wonderful victory. Oh, we taught them a lesson. Did you? Really? Do your people have the internet? And the answer is, by the way, they do. You know what else Iran has? Iran has the youngest population of just about any country in the Middle East. Know what else Iran has? A population that's about had it up to its eyeballs in many corners with the theocratic mullahs who have been running things since 1979, since the Ayatollah Khomeini ended the reign of the Shah. And then you got the hostage crisis and all of that. Iran is, and we had a chance. Remember the Arab Spring? Yeah, that didn't last long. Because we didn't, with full throat, support pro-democracy factions in Iran that could have brought about real change in Iran. So, I don't know, I don't believe that Iran is ISIS. Now, what's the difference? I mean, is there a theocratic Islamist bent to, of course there is. There's a common thread that runs through a whole lot of this. But with ISIS, with Al-Qaeda, there's that whole "we don't care if we die" thing. 72 virgins, ball of fire, hey, it'll all work out well for us. I don't think that's the government of Iran. I don't think that they want to be liquefied by an Israeli bombing run. As such, might be a little paper tiger element coming into play here, meaning that Israel can indeed strike back, and it wouldn't necessarily result in Iran, you know, nuking Jerusalem, which is what everybody's ultimately afraid of. One of our absolute favorite analysts on this, the great Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, he will join us 8:05. We'll do some Texas politics at 8:35. Tarrant County GOP Chairman Beau French will be with us. There's a weird, it's just a weird story that broke over the weekend. He's being sued. There is apparently a stone cold Democrat angling to be a Republican like precinct chair. I was like, really, precinct chair? How much does this matter? For precedent value, might matter a lot. So we'll check with him. Check in with him at 8:35. And speaking of people suing people for things, shocker, Attorney General Ken Paxton is suing somebody. It is a day ending in Y. What is the current target? Harris County, a familiar target. That's Houston. And it's to stop them from just more blatant vote buying. We are in the era of vote buying on steroids. Democrats saying, we will cancel your college loans. Oh, thank you, Democrats. I'll vote for you forever. In Harris County and in other places that are thinking about doing this, which means they must be smacked down venue by venue, you will hear about a term called universal basic income. Universal basic income. The idea being, you know, folks need a certain amount just to get by. Okay, I can understand that. Yeah, but should it come from other taxpayers? I mean, we already have welfare. We're not talking about that. This is more. This is taking people who are at the poverty line and just throwing them some more money. Just, hey, let's just reach into the pockets of other people and throw some of that money at the people in Harris County who are below the poverty line, freeing up all kinds of income for them, for cell phones, smokes, beer, weed, whatever they may want to do. So for every person who might be validly helped by that, all it does is, for others, enable the crappy decision-making, which is why some of them are at the poverty line in the first place. So there's that. So plenty, needless to say, plenty going on. No matter what is going on, there's always time for this. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our schools and public spaces are safe, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn, and we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, still give us the clarity to look around and cherish all the blessings we have just everywhere in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything, and we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. A good Monday to you. It's 7:22. Four Non-Blondes with Linda Perry up front. I was going to say, which camp am I in? People who kind of think this song is kind of cool and those who just revile it. Yeah, I don't want to be a fence straddler. There's nothing the matter with it, but not my wheelhouse. But anyway, Linda Perry, good for her. Hope she invested well on that. She is 59. All righty, Bree Jackson, NBC This Morning on the passive-aggressive American role as a quote-unquote ally of Israel.
Biden administration official says the president told Prime Minister Netanyahu that the U.S. will not participate in any counterstrikes against Iran and urged Israel to not retaliate. President Biden condemning Iran's wave of strikes toward Israel and praising the U.S. airmen who shot down Iranian drones and missiles.
Hey, you guys are the best in the whole damn world, man.
The president met with G7 leaders Sunday and urged restraint as Israel considers its response.
We will take whatever it takes to protect and defend our people.
The 9,602nd meeting of the Security Council is called to order.
But who's counting?
Emergency United Nations Security Council meeting, the UN Secretary General called for a de-escalation of tensions.
Now is the time to defuse and de-escalate.
That's Antonio Guterres, who's the okay, look, I'm all about de-escalation. I'm all about reduction of tensions. Why does everybody start calling for these things right after Israelis get slaughtered on October 7th? Oh, don't overreact. And right after Iran launches a wave of killer drones, oh, now there needs to be a measured response. Now there needs to be restraint. Now and only now we got to make sure there is de-escalation. I got a crazy idea. How about hit back? Hit back hard. How about teach these people a lesson? Let me run these things by my buddy Mike Gallagher, who's back. Got a number of things to run by Mike. It's 7:30. He'll be with us right after the newscast. Here's Nikki Whaley.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
It's actually overcast across North Texas. But I don't care. The sun is shining back again in my life. Everything's going my way. I was kind of joking when I said about your return, Mike, that you had only gotten used to Japanese time before you shoehorned yourself onto that plane for the 20-hour trip back, and now you got to readjust and go through it all again. Oh,
Mark,
bless your heart.
This is tough. It's been a long time since I've had a trip that far away.
Yep.
And now you don't understand. It's 9:30 at night over there right now.
Yep.
I've been up all week. Oh, I got back Friday. Yeah. I can't sleep. I was in the office today 4 hours before I normally get in. I was up all night.
He'll pass out halfway through the show.
Jet lag.
Let's
is
go to
real.
The phones.
Gosh, it's crazy. I mean, I'm up at 3 a.m. because, you know, you're up over there when you're asleep and your body gets into a routine.
Yes.
But it was a brilliant trip. I'm so glad I got to go. I've always wanted to go back to Japan. I went, like I told you, 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, I'm telling you what, the infrastructure, the beauty,
it's remarkable.
Everything works.
Yeah.
You can't find a bubblegum wrapper on the street.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the cleanest. Now, Tokyo's got 37 million people in it, and it's this clean, efficient, well-oiled machine. Yeah. Why can't we do that?
It's culture. There's something unique. I don't want to say unique. That means there's only one. There's something rare to their culture. Everybody, first, a sky-high IQ, sky-high devotion to the overall collectivist cause. I don't mean to sound communist, good. But just that everybody is a cog in a wheel. I mean, isn't there an old Japanese adage that the nail that sticks out gets hammered down? Nobody wants to be that nail. Everybody subsumes their personal, you know, issues to the greater community good. There's something admirable about that. It ain't America, and it never will be. So,
and never will be. And we're a nation of individuals, and I love that.
And we're slobs.
We're pigs. You know, we throw our Burger King wrappers on the ground. And once in a while, you'd see an Asian kid, a Japanese kid.
Yes.
With his or her hair dyed, like a boy with their hair dyed blonde.
Right.
I thought, there's a rebel. There's somebody who's... I mean, that's about as far as it goes.
Yep.
But everything else, I mean, everybody's in single file lines. I took that Shinkansen bullet train to Kyoto.
Yep.
I mean, like 280 miles in 2 hours. It's the crazy. The Ubers, all the Uber drivers are in suits and ties with little white gloves on. It's an amazing place to visit.
Cool.
And I heartily urge everybody to do it. I don't want to spend too much time on the trip because we got
a couple
tons
of things
of
going on.
News.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you think? World War III maybe in the offing. But I want to share something that's right in your wheelhouse, a movie experience.
Yes.
And I'll tell you why, because it's important considering what Trump is up against right now with this criminal trial that's starting today in New York City. Jonathan Turley wrote a great piece about this lawfare. This is such a bogus, ridiculous, it would be a misdemeanor. It was a crime allegedly committed prior to the 2016 election. Lawyers have been scouring the books to try to figure out anything they can throw to Donald Trump. And you got to read his piece, Mark. Turley has a great, because we need clarity and we need perspective right now. But I want to introduce you to a movie that I suffered through yesterday afternoon called Civil War.
I'm so excited. I got to tell the audience, I told everybody I was going to see this weekend. We talked about it a lot. I played the trailer. I wondered what it was going to be. Thrilled that you're here. Didn't do it because the cold I fought with all last week. I gave it to Lisa. I guess it happens when you're living in the same house. So I had to take care of her all weekend. Glad to do that. We did not get out to see it. So I'm filled with curiosity. Go.
Save your money. Don't spend your money on this.
Okay, I have to because know if you're right.
But let me tell you what's happening with this. You remember the play in Central Park where Trump was stabbed to death on stage?
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind. They're doing a very clever trick because I read about this movie after I saw it. First of all, it's a stupid movie. I mean, it's just it's trite and it's contrived and it's overdone and it's just just on the merits, it's a crappy movie.
The premise is that an authoritarian president, played by Nick Offerman, looking very Trumpy in the preview,
with the red tie,
little bit. Uh-huh. The three-term president says this will be brought under control. Uh-huh. Who are we channeling?
Uh-huh.
There are some states that secede. The weird thing seemed to be that, unlike these days where conservative states look to secede because of liberal tyranny, this looks like an amalgamation of states. With high-minded progressivism seceding to get away from the Trumpy president. Am I right so far?
Led by California and Texas.
I know what?
Which is a... That's right. That's weird. But make no mistake, this is an anti-Trump screed.
Okay.
It was released months before the election.
Mm-hmm.
And your instincts are right. It's an authoritarian president who doesn't like the media. He has the media shot. And I'm going to tell you something, Mark. What happens at the end of this movie, and
don't do it.
But I have to. I have to at least make sure you remember the Central Park play, because that's what we're being confronted with. The big blockbuster movie, the number one rated movie over the weekend, huge numbers at the box office, and it was, according to Axios, fueled by liberal and progressive moviegoers.
Mm-hmm.
Conservatives aren't seeing this thing, and for good reason. I'm telling you right now, Mark, you'll get mad when you, and I went, it's one of those movies where I got home, first of all, I wanted to leave two or three times in the middle of it. I thought, this is so stupid. Kirsten Dunst, she's the war photographer, and they use this technique of, she's taking pictures of the war, and they show the black, and it's just stupid. But think of the Central Park stabbing death of Donald Trump, and you will see why I am enraged at the evil viciousness, the degeneracy of what they're force-feeding us. And incidentally, they're very clever about it. It's so bad that they're pretending it's not necessarily about Donald Trump, that he's not necessarily Trump. Yes. Baloney. Uh-huh. Yeah, can you at least put him in a blue tie? You know, I mean, you know, it is so disgusting what this message is. And it's a dystopian movie about what would it be like if we had an actual civil war in this country, and it's pretty vile what we're it ties in nicely to Trump's trial this week, and he's departing this morning. Images right now, the helicopter's showing his motorcade going to the courtroom. As Jonathan Turley points out, it's a know-nothing misdemeanor. If they'd have put the words hush money on the form with whatever Michael Cohen did, mm-hmm. there's no crime.
That's it. It's lying to your own checkbook. There's no fraud.
So,
there's no victim. Tell everybody what you mean, because I kind of know, but fill in my blanks as well about how, you know, the movie, which is reflective of the current political tensions, we've never been so divided, which may or may not be true, but we really are. There's quite the everybody in their you know, separate corners. But as Trump goes on trial, tell me what you mean when you say there's something emblematic that echoes that, because I know what I think you mean, but you tell me what you actually mean.
Bottom line is it's throw everything you can to stop this guy from getting reelected. Mm-hmm. Do everything you can. Hollywood is colliding with journalism, wink, wink.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did you see George Stephanopoulos with Sununu over the
Absolutely.
Weekend?
Absolutely. Squish Chris Sununu has decided. There are two kinds of folks who just really, two kinds of Republicans who really don't like Trump. Those who get over themselves and realize, all right, Biden's terrible, so I'm going to go ahead and back Trump, which Sununu did, good for him, and those who will not get over themselves, and Sununu is in the better group.
Well, Sununu pointed out to Stephanopoulos, who, by the way, it's worth pointing out, is a Democrat operative
Thank
who
you.
Was one of Bill Clinton's chief aides.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the objective newsman.
Yeah.
So there's Stephanopoulos, no surprise, badgering Sununu. And Sununu said, and Stephanopoulos said, oh, you're with a president who's been accused of insurrection. You're
yes.
with, and Sununu says, yeah, yes. along with 51% of the country.
Yeah.
See, and that got me to thinking about these never-Trumpers and what a miserable place they have to be in.
Mm.
Can you imagine what it's like to think that the majority of Americans are stupid and wrong?
Which they do. These are not people who just have a gripe about Trump. They think there's something fundamentally, organically the matter with us. You know, our former colleague, Joe Walsh, I've spanked him 15 times while you were away, because I don't care about people that much on Twitter. But this notion of, oh, his supporters are okay. I'm just going after him. Listen, if you think Trump is Hitler, if you think he is a palpable existential threat to democracy, you have to think that his followers are crazy, insane, and in fact, bad people. So don't even try to pull this, I don't have anything against his supporters. Nonsense.
Baloney. That's what it's all about. I saw a Never Trumper on MSNBC over the weekend, a clip, and he kept talking about these people, meaning Trump supporters. Well, as Sununu points out, it's at least 51%. I'd argue more. I mean, let's face it. The majority of Americans, it might be a slim majority, but a majority of Americans want this guy back in the Oval Office. And that's something that if you're a Never Trumper, you got to look in the mirror and say, I hate most Americans.
Yeah.
I hate a majority of Americans.
Yeah.
I am against, and that's got to be on a purely human personal level, Mark. That's got to be a lonely, miserable, sad place to be.
You're right. You would be right, and you are right with some who have a smidgen of self-awareness. Many of them don't. They will go to their graves thinking that they were right in their little treehouse of Trump hatred, and the rest of us were crazy.
Meanwhile, you know, as a month or so ago, we were in Israel. Iran, you know, rains down all these missiles and drone attacks on Israel. Amazingly, the Iron Dome and the missile defense system that they have over there was spectacular. How about in our own country, in Michigan, in Chicago, chance of death to America and death to Israel?
Yeah.
This is, and incidentally, Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, is still silent on protesters in her state chanting death to America.
Did you catch the Fox News reporter chasing down Rashida Tlaib in the halls of the House office building? Will you condemn people? And she said, I don't talk to Fox News. I don't talk to Fox News. I don't talk to people who spread racist tropes. Racist tropes? Which one? Saying Hamas is bad is a racist trope? What?
Isn't that? And meanwhile, Biden's position is to scold Bibi Netanyahu and say, don't have a response to Iran. Take the win, Biden allegedly said to Bibi in a tense 45-minute phone call over the weekend. That's like saying you get punched in the mouth, and if you don't fall to the ground, you're supposed to stand there and take the win.
And doing nothing is a show. And doing nothing is a show of strength. So, what should they do? What would you like them to do? What would you advise them to do?
We ought to be. I'm with John Fetterman. Mm-hmm. We ought to be all in with Israel. We ought to be.
Can you believe we're saying this? God bless him. He and I'll say this 50 times. It's the best line of the world. This is a guy who went to an actual mental hospital and came out less liberal. Fetterman is awesome.
Well, that you know gives some credence to the Michael Savage belief that liberalism is a mental disorder.
Savage,
because you're right. Savage. Whatever happened to him in that institution. Ooh. Because he has got such clarity and such
courage.
Focus.
And courage. People talk about courage. Oh, he's so courageous. Here, the real definition of courage, I'm defining everything today, is when you take a stand that'll get you eaten alive by your own side, even though you know you're right.
Well, I want to see. I want to find out if you think I'm right when you go see Civil War.
I'll get to it at some point. Might be a little time, but I really will.
And you know what'll be impossible for you, because it's really hard for me?
What's that?
Not to give away the ending.
Well, okay. No, I'll manage.
I don't know.
No, of course I don't.
I think the ending's important. I'm dying to give the ending out on my show.
Why do I care about?
Why do I care about ruining an anti-Trump movie?
Because it's bad.
Well, there's some
give
rule
it a, give it a couple
bad
of
form.
Weeks. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, people are writing columns about it. You can see all kinds of. As soon as I popped
up, but the column is. Don't most of them say spoiler alert? Stop reading now. I guess you could say turn off the radio for 30 seconds. But you're like me. If 30 seconds becomes 4 minutes, and you'll go.
All right,
off on
but a rant. I got to. But I got to do it then. But all right. So you just gave me the last minute we have, and I know I got to get out.
No problem.
All right. Spoiler alert. Okay. Turn down your radio for 1 minute.
Well, not now. No. Do it on your own show.
Why not?
No, because I don't.
Why can't I do it?
Because I don't want people turning off the radio on my show.
What's 30 seconds?
It's a tease. And honestly, swear to God, I don't want to know. Ta-da.
You figured it out.
Well, sort of, kind of, especially since
based
I know
what
the...
my hints.
And I know the secessionist forces are shown storming Washington in the preview, so let's just leave it at that. Be happy. Take the win. Take the W. Take the W.
Okay.
But look at the time. I love you.
Okay,
glad you're back.
John Kirby. I love you. Great to be back. Happy Monday. Feel better.
He's tanned, rested, and ready. Back from Japan, and he is ready to rock. Mike Gallagher today at 10 with possible spoilers, but he'll tell you about them ahead of time. Right here on 660 AM The Answer.
This is station CAMEO. The next number to be broadcasted direct from the Cameo Studio, New York City, will be Mr. Radio Man.
Well, what do you know? So the song written 100 years ago this year, 1924, I have a feeling here with Bob Herring and his orchestra, this comes maybe a few years thereafter. But still properly into the wheelhouse of the way, 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 way back machine. The full title is Mr. Radio Man, Tell My Mammy to Come Back Home. Okay. Well, let Bob Herring and the orchestra take us out. And as the 8 o'clock hour dawns, we will welcome Jonathan Shanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies and figure out this whole Israel thing, or at least we will try. It is a Monday. Glad you're here. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.